Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. All right. I gotta say, I am back and refreshed from taking some time off. It was really nice to get away a little bit just from everything. I honestly didn't pay that close attention to the news. A little. I still tried to not be completely in the dark, but I didn't have to work. I got into the sun a little bit and out of the cold. It was a great break. And I am back and, you know, ready to dive back into the podcast. I know that, you know, going back and re-listening through those old episodes, the first 8, may not be exciting and fresh, but for those who did go through that exercise, thank you. And I think it will be helpful as we now go through and talk about each of those episodes. If you didn't go back and listen through those, I recommend that you do so now. Today, we're going to talk about the introduction. I'm going to give some insights into preparing the podcast, what brought it about, kind of where my mental state was at with everything and why I chose to do it and all of that. There's I think, some fun stuff that I don't think I've ever really talked about on the podcast in regards to all of that. And then, we'll go through each episode. I'm excited to kind of walk through each one and give insights. We'll talk about, again, the changes that have happened over the last 5 years, more than 5 years now since those first episodes were originally released. Are there things I regret? Are there things I would change? We'll talk about all of that stuff. So, again, if you listened to those episodes and you had some thoughts, I would love to hear how maybe you would have done things differently. So with that, let's dive into the introduction and talk about this. So back before the podcast ever started, I was in a spot where I was super interested in this idea of collapse. I had been learning more and more about it. It clicked for me and I grasped it and I thought, this is incredible stuff, right? This is mind-shattering, life-changing information to have. Like many, I had always felt that things were off, that things were wrong. I felt that, you know, society was fragile, but I could never really put the words to it and understand why. So many hours of research and reading and videos and all sorts of stuff to try and piece together why I felt the fragility, right? And making sense of the whole thing. Once it clicked, I was like, okay, look, why was that so hard for me to figure out? Like, why did it take so much time and research? And knowing that I liked to learn a certain way and realizing that when it came to the collapse conversation, there didn't seem to be anything that put it all together for me in that format that I liked. And so I thought, well, why don't I create it? And I had always had a little bit of this desire to create something. I am a very logical person. I like to-do lists and I'm just very left brain, but there's still this part of me that wants to create, that wants to build something. And I felt like I could do that. And originally I'd played with some different ideas. Do I create like a YouTube channel and create, instructional or educational type videos that are more graphic or visual, I should say, in nature? I had contemplated doing things like, if you're familiar with Just Have a Think, that page really inspired me at that time. And I thought I should do something like that. But quickly realizing I don't have the technical know-how, and honestly, the creative ability to put together the visual elements to make something like that work. And B, I didn't have the time to figure it out and to make it happen. I wanted to create something that was sustainable, that I could continue to do for a long time. And so I came across, podcasting as a medium and felt like that was, at least to start, the right way to go. I was on my own at this point. I was going to create a podcast and I scripted it out. I had built the first several episodes and put together the organization, the structure, and the timeline that I wanted to talk about things in. But my plan was simply just to sit down in front of a mic and do it myself. I went out. I paid $85 for a Yeti Blue microphone. I downloaded Audacity, figured out how to use that, and I started recording. So episode one, this introduction, I actually recorded the entire thing by myself sitting in front of a computer. I think that the episode was like 20 minutes long, and I recorded it a bunch of times because I felt so self-conscious. If you haven't talked in front of a mic by yourself, especially, man, it is awkward. You feel weird just talking to nobody, trying to put thoughts together. Even though you can do some editing afterwards to make things more cohesive, it still feels just very weird. And I struggled with it. And I thought, okay, it's fine. I'm going to figure this out. Like, I'm going to get used to it. But inside knowing like, or feeling like, this kind of sucks. No one's going to want to listen to this. But I was still determined and wanted to put the content out there for people that I thought it could help. Well, one day Kellen was over. I don't remember what we were doing. I was in a house that I had built down in my unfinished basement, and I was finishing my basement, and Kellen had been helping me with some of that, and my guess is that he was down there. We were looking at something, you know, getting ready for the electrical or getting ready to finish something. But anyway, basically, he saw that Yeti microphone sitting on a desk in that unfinished basement, and he was like, hey, what's that mic for? It's a pretty nice mic. And I was like, well, okay, this is weird. Like, at this point, I can either just like lie to him and say that it's for work, you know, so I don't have to get into the whole collapse conversation and talk about this project that I'm doing that I'm kind of embarrassed about because I haven't really got that far into yet. And the first episode sucks and I don't want him to listen to it. And I'll tell him about it later once it's successful. Plus, it's this topic that he doesn't really know anything about. And it's kind of awkward to bring up to him. But I didn't lie. I said, yeah, I'm actually just messing around with some stuff on the side, doing a little project. And he just immediately was like, tell me more about it. This is super interesting. Sounds way cool. Now, at this point, I had little by little been talking to Kellen about collapse ideas. I'd kind of just been mentioning my thoughts about the future. He and I drove down to work, a work meeting once, you know, the 2-hour drive down to our office. And as we were driving through the city, I had mentioned to him how vulnerable I felt in cities because there's just so many people that rely so much on outside sources helping them to survive, right? We talked about how I felt that it just felt unnatural. Anyway, he responded decently to those thoughts and ideas that I had. He objected to the idea that, you know, that society would collapse. I talked to him about my fears for the future and about how I felt our vulnerability could eventually lead to collapse. And it was a brand new idea to him. At the time, he was very much, somebody's got it figured out. We made it this far. Technology's advancing. Things are getting better, more or less, you know, for life expectancies and medical and those types of things. He had a vague idea of climate change. You know, he knew that it was happening, but wasn't that concerned about it. Kind of the typical response that you might normally get when talking to someone that you trust or love about collapse. Wasn't disrespectful, was curious, asked questions, but sort of maintained this stance that, like, you're probably looking too much into it. Yeah, society has some vulnerabilities. We always go through ups and downs, but overall, I think the trajectory is going to continue to improve. So occasional conversations like that had come up between Kellen and I, and now him seeing this mic, us talking about my project, this podcast I wanted to start, the idea crept in of like, why don't we talk about this together? You've been somewhat receptive of this. What if I try and teach you the principles of why I feel the way that I feel about it, and we can just kind of see where it goes? And I don't remember for sure if I was the one to bring that up and be like, Kellen, let's do this together. Or if he was like, hey, well, if you ever want, you know, I'm down to do a podcast. That sounds like fun. Him and I have always kind of looked at side projects together and things that we could do sort of as a hobby outside of work. But we were like, yeah, let's record some episodes and just see how it goes. And we did the intro first, and it was still awkward, and it still took many takes at first just to feel comfortable talking to each other in the mic, even especially, I should say, that first just saying hello into the microphone. Hey, my name's Corey, and not feeling super, super awkward about it. Now, 250 episodes in, plus another almost 200 episodes on Patreon, I feel just fine about it. It's not awkward for me anymore. But man, at the time, it was so weird. And he and I had tons of laughs and lots of stuff that we had to cut out of the episodes because we just found ourselves being goofy and weird and awkward. So as I go back and listen through the introduction, I think that's one of the primary things that I find is, man, if somebody is listening to this who doesn't know Kellen or I, hopefully it comes across as genuine, because it was genuine, but it was genuineness that we had to push through the awkwardness to find. Something else I'll note, which is kind of funny, is that we talked about how, you know, okay, if this works out and we get some listeners, you know, maybe we get a few dozen or 100 people listening or whatever, you know, we can do these first. What I thought at the time were going to be 7 episodes. And then after that, we can just kind of see, like, maybe there's tons of other ones that we can do. And I was telling him, like, you know, if things really went well, I could see us having like years worth of content here to talk about. And he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's like, I can't really see, you know, I can't commit to doing a podcast for like, you know, more than a few months. He's like, a few years, if it works out, great, but I don't want to commit to like this super long-term thing if it's not going to work out that way. And I remember reflecting back on that with him, you know, 3 years later when we were still chugging along doing our best on the podcast. Okay, so now jumping into the actual content of the podcast, it was interesting because we had shared this podcast mostly online, not really with people that we knew. Kellen was a little more open with sharing it with people that he knew. And, you know, there was a coworker, for example, that he shared it with. She was all into podcasts and she was also very blunt in her feedback. And she was like, yeah, I listened to the first episode and it was fine. I won't be listening to any more of the podcast. And here's why. And yes, part of it was that she just simply did not want to listen to something that was not uplifting. But second, she was like, I didn't ever really understand what you were talking about. She was like, it took so long in that first episode to even just spit out a definition of collapse. She's like, for somebody like me, you know, you kept talking about collapse and giving these vague ideas throughout the episode, but there was no real definition until the very end. And even then, after you gave the definitions, I didn't really know what I was listening to. And that has stuck with me. You know, as I listen back through the intro, I'm like, why didn't I just spit out a definition right at the beginning of that episode? Let's talk about Jared Diamond's view of what collapse is, so that you know what the heck it is we're talking about. We kind of talked around it. We gave some vague, is it the end of the world? Well, maybe it's the end of the world as we know it. And are things going to change for me? Yeah, things will change. But we didn't just get really straightforward. Here is a definition of collapse. And now that we have that out of the way, you know, now we can talk about what collapse is and what collapse isn't and those types of things. I've talked to other people, however, about that introduction, and they've said, they told me I'm wrong in feeling awkward about it and saying that I wish that I could redo it, saying, no, it was perfect. You know, it got me just in the right, you know, mindset and understanding for what the podcast was going to be, and I wouldn't change a thing. So from my personal standpoint, I think I would change at least that one thing, giving a solid definition within the first few minutes of the podcast. Another thing that maybe I wish I would have done was be a little bit more blunt talking about what some of the changes that I expected to happen. You know, we gave a definition, talked about population decrease and a decrease in socio-political or economic complexity. And then I said things like, well, we'll get into that in the coming episodes. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means and what complexity is. And I think that's good in as much as it leads into the coming episodes. But I think I might have done a little bit more to not give predictions, because again, that's not what this podcast is about. And I would hate to lead off with that, but to make it feel a little bit more real and to leave the listener saying, oh, like Corey thinks this is what is going to happen and his podcast is going to tell me why. We did that a little bit. We talked, you know, I gave the example of Machu Picchu and thinking about the ruins and how it was once a vibrant community and that now the people aren't there to tell us about it. And then flashing forward to New York in a couple hundred years when it's a similar situation. So while I didn't not do it, you know, I think I could have done it better. And then lastly, would maybe have been to speak with Kellen a little bit more beforehand about it to guide some of the questions many of his questions were excellent. But I listening through that in the brief 30 minutes that we have there to pull people into the podcast, there might have been a few things that derailed the conversation slightly, talking about how religion plays into it, for example. But for the most part, man, his questions were excellent, asking things about, you know, getting us on track to talk about how it's not a conspiracy theory, as many people might feel it is, talking about the walls being up and the red flags in initiating a conversation like this. In the end, I think having Kellen on the podcast is what determined its success early on. I think if I had just gone out and tried to release the version of it where I'm talking to myself in a microphone, unexperienced with that, highly awkward, and without that ability to have a conversation, and in the end, to pull in a target listener who, in many cases, was Kellen. Kellen was asking the questions that a listener might be asking. You know, the whole idea of the podcast was to be pedagogical. I wanted to teach, and to teach someone who I had no idea what their questions were, what their doubts were. To do it on my own, I would have had to completely assume that, and I would likely have missed so much. And for the listener to feel like, okay, this guy is just saying a lot of things, but there's no pushback. There's no questions. There's no doubts. And so, yeah, in the end, I feel like the podcast would have been much less successful without Kellen there. Much of the feedback that we received in reviews online, there's hundreds of reviews of the podcast, and some of them are negative about the approach that we took and the formatting. Most of them are quite positive. Some of the negative ones talked about how the supposed, you know, student Kellen basically gave zero pushback, managed to ask all the right magical questions, and basically they were insinuating that, like, Kellen wasn't really just an inquisitive friend of mine, but someone who was on the same page as me already, and we were just acting like he was interested in learning about it or something, which was 100% not the case. As we went through the first few episodes, I remember wondering, can this podcast continue if Kellen doesn't take it on, right? Maybe we get a few episodes in and he's like, no, I don't believe any of this, like, you know, holds on to his previous thoughts, you know, around society and like so many people who we talk to Collapse about, just say, hey, this isn't for me. I don't think this is how it's going to play out. And very quickly, you know, he could have gotten bored of it or disenfranchised from it. He may have not wanted to associate himself with the topic and the idea. He wasn't going to want his name or voice out there to continue talking about it. So that was a real worry. And so it was awesome how quickly he picked it up. And I remember multiple times after we would end an episode, especially in, you know, those first 8 to 10, where he would be like, you know, we'd end the podcast, I'd stop the recording, and we'd sit and talk for another half an hour, another hour, because he's mind blown about it. He's like, holy crap, I had never thought about this way. You know, I'm excited to see the sources that you're going to include with the podcast, because I want to know where each of these, you know, data points are coming from. And then he's watching the videos and he's doing the reading. And it's not like after the very first, you know, two or three episodes, he was sold on it. It was like, okay, yeah, I see what you were telling me. And it makes sense. I'm following, you know, the information you're giving in this one. I still don't necessarily see how that's going to guarantee that society is going to collapse. You know, it's certainly a vulnerability, but I'm excited to look into it more. And then with each new episode, as we went through, by the time we hit episode 8 and we finished talking about climate change, he was like, okay, what else is there that, like, if what we've talked about here is true and the data points are true, yeah, it seems like this is the direction we're headed. And he wasn't already at that point even like 100% yes, collapse is definitely going to happen. There's no doubt. But it was starting to click for him. It was making sense. He was understanding the issues. And it didn't take long before he was doing the research for topics on the podcast. I think it was episode 11 that he did his first, brought the research, and was basically in at that point. To end, maybe just to highlight some of the strengths, I think, from that introductory episode, I think we did a pretty decent job at making sure that we kind of addressed some of the red flags that people might have in addressing the topic up front, talking about how it's not a conspiracy theory and here's why. talking about how it's not extinction. It's not Hollywood level. It's not a meteor. Setting the expectation that collapse is a slow, at least in human lifespan, degradation of society as a whole, marked by sort of intermittent accelerations, explaining that we don't know how it's going to play out exactly, and explaining that it's complex. And that while, yes, people want a quick elevator pitch understanding of what's going to happen, that's not possible. And that's one of the main reasons why people aren't talking about this left and right, because people don't like to do the research and look into really complex topics. So if you're with us, dear listener, you know, and you want to understand what we're talking about, then buckle up, because it's going to be a bit of a ride. But by the end, you'll have a good understanding and it will have been worth it. One other point I really tried to make in that introduction was that me personally, I am not an expert. And this has been hard for me throughout the entirety of the podcast and is still hard for me today. There are podcasts out there from people who are experts in their field. They are, you know, they went to school and graduated with degrees in climate science, right? Or what have you. So I suffer a bit from imposter syndrome, especially so up front as we began. And so I wanted to make it clear to everyone that, hey, this is a conversation between a regular guy and his friend. The regular guy has some beliefs about the way that society works. It is backed by facts. I'll present those facts here. I'm not trying to convert anyone. I'm not trying to force anyone to feel or think a certain way. But I personally see it this way. I believe this thing, and so I am here to talk about it, and you can join me if you would like. We got feedback. Again, some negative feedback from folks saying, we don't even know who Corey is. We don't know what his qualifications are. Where did he go to school? And those types of things. And the response to that is, I made it very clear. I tried to make it very clear that I didn't go to school for this. I have no qualifications. I just feel like I can break this down in a way that makes sense, because when I learned about it, I put it together in my own head this way. You know, many experts in their field, people who are highly educated on ecology or highly educated in the medical field or highly educated on climate science, they often are a little bit more tunnel visioned, right? They stay in their lane because they only want to talk about the things in which they are qualified to talk about and which they are experts on. And so it's really hard to get a mix of someone who is, you know, an expert in climate science, but who can also talk about the economy and financial system and politics, and who's also willing to talk about biodiversity and ecology and, you know, history. And while I'm not an expert in any of them, I sort of grasp that basic understanding in enough of a way can help put things together. One last thing that popped into my mind, and then I'm going to end this episode. And this is one thing that I wish I would have changed, but it's very tricky to manage. And that is references to, I guess, the language that we use when we talk about collapse, and bringing some of that language up in the introductory episode, I think could further the red flags to make people feel off put by it. For example, in that episode, I used the term collapse aware and I used the term collapse community. And I think what I was trying to get across was that there are others. There are a lot of people who feel this way. It's not me just being some dude in my basement, you know, making this up. But I also listen back to that a little bit and cringe, because it kind of makes it feel like, okay, we're just a group of people in our basements talking about it, because it starts to take on this language, like so many of those, you know, little niche communities. It's like saying you're black-pilled, right? Or something like that, that just kind of invokes a little bit of this hesitation to be like, oh, this person or these people think that, you know, they're part of some group that has special inside knowledge, and it feels more conspiratorial. So I, throughout the podcast, especially at the beginning, because so much of my education came from Reddit, it really did. That's where people that, at least the space I was familiar with, were talking about it. It's where posts were being made that I could research back, going a long ways, for sources where people were talking about this. It's where there was ongoing conversations and communication. It was the space that I used to teach myself, at least as a starting point, and to understand for myself that there were thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other people who believed this same way and who were finding ways to cope with it. And so I referred to the subreddit quite frequently. And that is, of course, not the only place. I mean, everything there is aggregated from other sources, right? So the sources are all coming from other places. They're just aggregated by people and put together in that location and talked about there. And so anyway, for me, I think I referred to it too much, to the Reddit too much. And there was some feedback in that regards as well. All right, I'm going to end there for today. Those are my thoughts on the introduction. So glad, so grateful that Kellen saw my mic in the basement at the time that he did in order to make it work out the way that it did in the end. I'm sad that he's not here doing the podcast with me at this moment. But if you're still with me at this point in the episode, maybe some good news, because he does intend to join me for an end of year episode as we recap 2025 and maybe take a look into 2026. So that's something to look forward to, have Kellen back after more than a year, at least for an episode. Anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for joining me for this episode and this look back. In the next episode, we will take a look at some insights from the second episode. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.